Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the DiaSorin Focus Diagnostics Products Business Acquisition conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carlo Rosa, CEO of DiaSorin. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the DiaSorin call. We are here to discuss with you a very exciting opportunity for DiaSorin, which is the acquisition from Quest Diagnostic Lab of Focus Molecular and Immunoassay product business. Let me just take you through the Focus business first, and then I will discuss the rationale for this acquisition. Focus business is made of molecular products, which represent the majority of its revenue, and a short list of specialty immunoassay products in the area of infectious disease. 80% of the business is in the U.S., and the customer base is mainly represented by large hospital institutions. The business has been performing very well, and in 2015 has recorded double-digit revenue growth. The molecular products span across a large number of clinical applications, from infectious disease to hospital-acquired infections. The product offering consists of reagents as well as small instruments that allows amplification and readout within 1 hour. This technology was originally developed by 3M and was recently acquired by Focus after a long-standing collaboration between the two companies. The system has been developed to serve the need of hospital labs that need a fast turnaround time and a simple instrument to operate. We at DiaSorin believe that there is a perfect strategic fit between the two product offerings. In fact, being DiaSorin a leader in the field of infectious disease, which represents today, I remind you, 50% of our overall business, for us, having access to this platform will strengthen our position as suppliers to all the microbiology and virology hospital labs where immunoassay and molecular diagnostic are key technology used to address the clinical diagnostic need of patients. From a geographical point of view, Focus business is largely concentrated in the U.S. Roughly 80% of the revenues are in fact realized in the U.S. So the viability to the Focus business of the large DiaSorin commercial infrastructure will allow a better development of the Focus instrument install base outside the U.S., capturing an opportunity of growth that today was limited to for the existing business of Focus. In the U.S., Focus and DiaSorin are very complementary, since DiaSorin mainly sells in the mid-size and large commercial labs, whereas Focus is mainly selling in the hospital setting, which is a segment that DiaSorin sees as strategic for the further development of its liaison install base. With this acquisition, we will then be able to leverage on each other's commercial strength and speed up the market penetration in these two segments, which are strategic for us. Moreover, as stated in our 3 years plan, we see our company strategically becoming a leader in the emerging market segment of smaller type hospitals, lab, and POLs in the U.S. and China. Internally, we started the development of the Liaison XS, which will be the first immunoassay platform designed to address the need of these smaller labs and customers. And we believe that the current Focus platform does provide a nice solution to these labs. So we at DiaSorin will be able to serve this growing customer base both from with immunoassays as well as molecular diagnostic products. Now, before I turn the call to the operator for the Q&A session, let me make a final remark. The molecular space is full of companies that promise to provide technologies that fit the market needs and at the same time are scalable and can be manufactured in a way to guarantee a good return on investment and a high profitability. Now, we all know that the reality is that few companies succeeded to deliver products that eventually were both appealing to customers and allowed the business to be profitable and healthy. focus with an EBITDA margin in the range of 30% and a solid pattern of growth is one of the few that eventually succeeded to deliver what was promised. And I believe we at DiaSorin were very fortunate to be presented with this opportunity. Now, thank you very much for joining us for this call. This is a very important moment for DiaSorin, and I would like to turn now to the operator to open up the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Maja Pataki of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, gentlemen. I hope you can hear me. I'm actually in a and I'm losing a voice. Carlo, just very quickly, a few questions. You have been talking about the sales synergies that you see, particularly in the U.S., with the combination of the two companies, and that seems to be very obvious from the data that you have been giving us. Can you talk about...
Excuse me, it's very, very difficult to hear you.
Okay, I'll try again. Otherwise, I will send Ricardo a question if you can't hear me. Are there any cost synergies that could come through from that deal as well, and not only sales synergies?
Okay, if I understand correctly, your question is there any cost saving?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Not really. Listen, as you know, DiaSorin is growing, is a very profitable company, and focus is in a very similar pattern of growth. So I think that there are going to be some minimalistic opportunities of synergies, but at the end of the story, this is not a synergy play. This is an opportunity to expand revenues, provide commercial infrastructure to a company that is has been so far very U.S. Oriented. In fact, as you saw, only 20% of revenues are coming from outside the U.S. Is an opportunity to bring together technologies that we have at DiaSorin, and focus certainly has. As you know, we developed ULAMP. As you know, we have a business for DNA and RNA extraction. And so we believe that taking this and complementing what we have with what Focus has will create a differentiating company and product offering in the space of molecular diagnostics. So I don't foresee any significant opportunity of cost saving.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Scott Bardo of Berenberg. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking my questions, and congratulations on the deal. Apologies if there's some overlap with my questions. I've only just been able to jump on the call, so apologies in advance if that's the case. So my first question, well, actually, would be just to get a little bit of background, if possible, as to how the deal with Molecular, Focus Molecular came about, who approached who, how did you learn about these assets in the first instance? So just the sort of flow of events that led to this deal, please. And again, apologies if you've already given that. Second question relates to your own existing business. I managed to catch the answer to synergies with your existing molecular business. But I wonder, now that you have a certain critical mass in molecular, do you foresee that your own molecular business now becomes break-even, stroke profitable? I understand it continues to be a drag on margins. Perhaps if you could give us some feeling and flavor there, please. And last question just relates to a comment that I think you made within the release about the aspirational 50% mix into the U.S. Am I right to assume that Focus is the first of a series of moves that you make on the acquisition side? Perhaps you could give us some flavor of how this piece of the puzzle fits in with your broader strategy for future M&A. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. First question about how we got to know Focus. Focus is a very well known brand in the U.S. As you have seen from the press release, is a company that belongs to Quest Lab. We've been working with Quest as suppliers for a long time, and I think that We knew Focus from before. In the U.S., their product and their technology, which was originally developed by 3M, is a very solid brand. And therefore, when Quest made a decision to divest from this area, as they explained in the press release, we saw an opportunity to work with Quest and find a good home for this technology and company. Now, as far as QLamp margin, remember what I always said, that it's in within the DiaSorin group, the margin erosion at the EBITDA level due to the QLamp research project is minimum. And therefore, yes, we may break even, but what is really changing the scope of the business is not QLamp, is Focus and the ability of the two companies combined to continue the solid path of growth that this company as a standalone has been able to achieve in the last few years. As far as 50% in the U.S., as you know, is an aspiration. I believe that the U.S. is the most strategically the most important market in our business. In vitro diagnostic, I think is a market that allows you long-term visibility. Is a growing market. Is a market. Is a country where the expenditure on healthcare is twice what we have in Europe and in other parts of the world, and is a culture and ethic that we like as DiaSorin, and therefore, yes, it's an aspiration, and we continuously look at opportunities to buy assets if the asset fit well with the DiaSorin current business as Focus did. But again, it's an aspiration, it's a strategic aspiration, but I clearly cannot comment on the fact that there is going to be a series of other acquisitions.
Thank you. And just to follow on from that, have you quantified what debt position you're expecting to take? I appreciate that you could absorb this through current cash on the balance sheet, but you alluded to the fact that you could tap some credit lines. So have you quantified magnitude, and if so, if it's a sort of a relatively big magnitude considering your cash position, would it be right to read into that, you know, you're priming yourself for further M&A this year?
No, I think we didn't comment on that. As you know, we were very rich balance sheet, and we did finance most of this acquisition, or we will finance most of this acquisition through available cash. Certainly, we have a credit line that, I mean, these days, these credit lines are available. They are cheap, especially in Europe. And we secure a credit line to allow us to complete this deal and to continue to operate the company as is. But I'm not disclosing what the terms of this line are.
So we shouldn't assume any significant step up in interest costs related from this deal, essentially, if my understanding is correct. Good. Just very last quick question for me, if possible. Intrigued about the customer positioning in the U.S. From Focus. You talked about this 200 or so hospitals, which are important for positioning. Is this? Can you help me understand? Is this going to be more relevant to the Liaison XL platform, or is this of more importance to some of the mid and lower throughput developmental systems you have in the pipeline? Thank you.
No, today I think it's going to be very relevant for the Liaison XL platform because Focus is selling today in very large hospital institutions, and they will list over 200 customers in that segment. However, what we see is that the current platform fits very well also with smaller type accounts. The company itself, you know, was limited in size and was not really able to penetrate that market. So we believe the combination of DiaSorin plus Focus will allow us to put together critical mass to be able to expand in the lower segment, offering molecular diagnostic and as well as immunoassay specifically in the clinical area of infectious disease, which, as you know, is our forte, is where the company is known of. And we believe that in these microbiology virology labs where they are performing today routinely these both molecular immunoassay, usually immunoassay is a screening, is a frontline screening technology because it's cheap. And then lots of this molecular testing is done on confirmed positive patients. So we will be able to provide to customers a comprehensive offering of technologies and products in order to fulfill their requirements from a clinical use. So again, today would be leveraging on large hospital institutions. Tomorrow would be to put together a program also with the access to access the smaller hospitals.
Understood. Thanks very much for taking my questions.
The next question is from Oscar Anderson of Bonnenholm Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Oscar here. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one is just how you think about the organic growth for DiaSorin going forward based on like three buckets. So firstly, how fast can Focus grow as a standalone company? Secondly, what can DiaSorin add to like Focus growth by driving growth in commercial labs in the U.S. and expanding Focus into Europe? And then thirdly, what are the opportunities for revenue synergies with DiaSorin's molecular diagnostic business and DiaSorin's ELISA business?
Well, you're asking me a lot of questions, and at this point, we are not really prepared to give any outlook for the Focus business because first we need to close the deal, second, we are working to prepare a 3 years plan that will be presented to the investors later in the year, bringing together, again, the DiaSorin immunoassay products with molecular. Now, I can give you a qualitative comment. As far as DiaSorin is concerned, you have the 3 years plan. You understand what is our outlook for 2016. So we continue to experience solid growth and margin expansion. I believe that when it comes to Focus in the last few years, this has been a very fast-growing company. And so it is also true that the molecular space is the molecular space that the company is working on is a space that is crowded. There is competition. So we believe that this double-digit growth that they've been experiencing can continue in light of the fact that they will be accessed through the DiaSorin all the European market that today is negligible for them. As well as the Asia-Pacific, where pretty much today the company does not operate, whereas, you know, for us, China is a growing market, fast-growing market. We are growing over 20% in China. We have an infrastructure, and it would be a new market opportunity for the products. But then, again, later in the year, we're gonna come back to the investor community with a new 3 years plan.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luigi De Bellis of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. Two quick questions. The first one is, could you give us more color about the cost of Focus machine, end user price or average revenues per machine, and their market share in the U.S.? The second question, you talked about limited cost synergies, but do you see cross-selling opportunities by the acquisition? Thank you.
Okay. Luigi, as you know, I cannot comment on the first questions you asked, also because these are confidential information to the business. I keep saying, you know, the business, this deal is announced, but is not closed. And therefore, I will not be able to comment on this. Clearly, they have products that fit very well the mid-size hospital. So you should not, I mean, this company is not set up and equipped to provide very large instruments into very large accounts, but this is not where we want to go strategically. They have a very cost competitive, they have a very competitive cost structure, as you can see from the profitability of the company. And as I said, as, and please note my last comment, if you look at a lot of companies that are playing today in the diagnostic, in molecular diagnostic space, with few exceptions, most of these companies are not making money or they have very limited profitability. And what is exceptional about this business is that it grows, it's solid, it makes money, and it is profitable, which makes it fairly unique and made it a very interesting target for us. And it's very innovative because you can public information, you can go on a website, and you will see that this technology is extremely powerful and extremely customer-friendly. As far as cross-selling, yes, I see the opportunity, as I did comment before, because more and more, especially in some on the infectious disease area, customers are using a diagnostic algorithm that includes immunoassay frontline and reflex on the molecular, more expensive products. And interestingly enough, this company is has developed products across different infectious disease areas where we operate, and starting from transplantation into hospital acquired and also stool. You know, stool for us is strategic. We develop lots of immunoassays, and they have a C. diff molecular product that is what we were missing in order to complete the algorithm. So you know, the strategic fit is exceptional in this case.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Daniel Yelovkan of Bank and Bellevue. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just one question. If you could elaborate a bit on the market share of focused diagnostic, especially in infectious disease, because I'm not really familiar with the market size and market shares of the different players. That would be great. Thanks.
See, the question is the market share in infectious disease of Focus. I think that Focus today has really different areas where they play. I think that they have a good chunk of revenues which are coming from in the area of influenza, and influenza is a very specific market opportunity in the U.S., and so the company is known in this space with a very complete product offering. They have a lot of applications for hospital-acquired infections. I cannot comment again on market share because these are information confidential to the company. And certainly there is an interesting pipeline of products to include certain blockbuster products in the space like MRSA, which is a very important product for hospital-acquired infections in the U.S. So without getting into the specific again, because these are confidential information to the company, I think this, especially in the U.S., they are a recognized brand and they do have important penetration in this infectious disease market.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Scott Bardo of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. Just a quick question on the instrumentation. I wonder, is there any ability for you to consolidate the instrumentation, the Simplexia, with your existing molecular infrastructure? Likewise, some of the ELISA systems, the ability to integrate those on your instrumentation, whether that's technically feasible or not, Second part of that question, I note that they have a pretty efficient manufacturing facility for the consumables in the US. Is this a facility that has good capacities or requires additional capital investment? And could you foresee DiaSorin as a group utilizing that infrastructure for your own base business, as it were, as a manufacturing hub in the future?
Okay, the first question is about integration. I believe that we will need to move into certainly into developing a system that is able to do not only readout and amplification, but certainly for certain application also extraction. And let me remind you that through the Nordic acquisition, we do have the technology of extraction. So yes, it's on the board, the fact that we should be working toward an integrated system for certain markets. We've been discussing about that with management, and we're going to make decisions and outline plans in our 3 years plan. As far as capacity, yes, certainly. The current focus facility is certainly capable of absorbing more volume. However, in order to avoid any organizational confusion, we elected to keep this business separated from the rest, and California will become the headquarters for the global molecular group. The general manager that today is running Focus will have the responsibility to consolidate under her also our European activities. So in a sense, this will be an independent business unit working with its own technologies and resources. As I said, that this is not a synergy play. This is more an opportunity to get technologies together and developing a molecular diagnostic strategy. Certainly, there is going to be an integration on the commercial side on the European scenario, because they don't have anything and we do have all the infrastructure. And in the U.S., we will need to find a way to bring together products and our commercial people to make it a very strong commercial team. But this is as far as it goes for the time being.
Got it. Thanks so much indeed.
Thank you, Scott.
The next question is from Andrea Balloni with Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one is about sales. You have mentioned that 80% of sales is coming from the US for Focus. And so, where does the remaining 20% come from exactly in terms of geographical breakdown? And again, about that, if you can comment a little bit more about the strategy to enter the Asian and the European market. Is it the same for the US market or something different? I mean, about Focus product. Thank you.
Okay. Information about revenues are confidential to the company. Let me just say, make a very qualitative comment. The remaining 20% revenues outside the U.S. Are mainly concentrated in Europe, as you can imagine, through a network of distributors, and then very limited revenues in South America and in the Asia Pacific. As far as strategy for Europe and Asia, the European and the first the European and U.S. markets are different in a way that with reimbursement. In the U.S., the reimbursement of these molecular products is very high, and this has been driving acceptance by customers of these new technologies, whereas Europe, which is more a more conservative market, the reimbursement has not been a driver, and in certain countries, the diagnostic algorithm actually is preventing customers for using molecular products as screening assays, but only as reflex products. By the same token, in the European setting, this business is more concentrated to the traditional virology, microbiology labs. And this has been driven by the consolidation on the public hospital sector. And therefore, you see the need for a higher volume system rather than, you know, smaller systems like you would see accepted in the U.S. In the U.S. environment. And as far as Asia is concerned, certainly is a more mature market in a way that because of the fact that some of the fundamental PCR patents in China were not so strong, there has been a slew of local manufacturers that develop products for the Chinese market. Quality is not as good as the products coming from Europe or the U.S. And therefore today, as it happens for immunoassays in China and other technologies, there is a carve-out with class 3 hospitals that do really want technologies and product quality like the ones that we have in the U.S. and Europe. And therefore we see, and again, there is no, in China, as you know, there is no consolidation, so you don't have the big private labs. It's a hospital market, class 2, class 3. And therefore, we really see a fit for a system of this size with the menu that they have, especially for respiratory, that, you know, is a concern for China. Let me remind you, the SARS situation a few years ago. So strategically, we do see the opportunity for this kind of product offering for the Asian market is just a matter of going through the registration, which will take a year or so, and then being able to offer the products through our own network to the class 3 hospitals that today we already serve. Let me remind you that we have over 700 systems, liaison systems, being installed in China, so a very high penetration in the hospital market, and that we plan to leverage on that in order to provide also these molecular products to the Chinese market.
Thank you.
Mr. Rosa, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, operator, thank you.